Blog Talk Radio.
You're listening to the all-new Hair Radio Morning Show with Terry Hines. Stay tuned.
Hi, everybody. This is Queen Tree, and I'm shouting out the Hair Radio Show with Terry Hines.
Crystal Jones Vaughn of Assuage Hair and Body, and I love the Hair Radio Show.
Hello, everybody. I'm Valerie from Validate Your Beauty. I am giving a shout out to the Hair Radio Morning Show, Terry Hines.
It's time to rise and shine with the Hair Radio Morning Show with Terry Hines.
Welcome to the Hair Radio Show on Blog Talk Radio. He's the host with the most, Mr. Terry Hines.
Good morning, and welcome to an all-new live edition of the Hair Radio Morning Show. We're the longest-running daily live broadcast on hair in the world, 25 years and counting. Now, on today's broadcast, we've got the latest in hair and beauty talk, great music, and much, much more. I must thank our Carefree Hair Products, Hair Nation Expo events, Salon TV Network, and all of our amazing advertisers who are responsible for getting this episode on the air. Now, if today is your first time tuning in, thank you. And remember to press 1 to make a live comment or shout-out during the show. We're here each weekday from 6 to 9 a.m. Eastern, 5 to 8 Central. Now grab your cup of coffee and enjoy today's show.
Is that India? What happened to her hair?
Little girl with the pressing curl, age 8 I got a Jerry curl, 13 and I got a relaxer, I was a source of so much laughter, 15 when it all broke off, 18 and I went all natural, February 2002 I went on and did what I had to do, because it was time to change my life, to become the woman that I am inside. 97 dreadlocks all gone, I looked in the mirror for the first time and saw that, hey, I am not my hair, I am not this thin, I am not your expectations, no, no.
I wouldn't go that far.
Good hair means curls and waves. Bad hair means you look like a slave. At the turn of the century, it's time for us to redefine who we be. You can shave it off like a South African beauty. Got it on lock like Bob Marley. You can rock it straight like Oprah Winfrey. If it's not what's on your head, it's what's underneath. And say, hey,
I am not my hair. I am not this skin. Not your expectations, no. I am not my hair. I am not the skin. I am the soul that lives within.
Does the way I wear my hair make me a better person? Does the way I wear my hair make me a better friend? Oh, does the way I wear my hair determine my integrity? I am expressing my creativity. Breast cancer and chemotherapy took away her crown and glory. She promised that if she was to survive, she would enjoy every day of her life. Oh, on national television, her diamond eyes are sparkling. Bald headed like a full moon shining, singing out to the whole wide world.
As women, it seems like we carry the weight of the world on our shoulders, and that weight is directly balanced between your 2 feet. And with this balancing act, who do you think is suffering? It's not the kids. It's your feet. While running errands, paying bills, or dodging traffic, you could be ruining your feet. Wearing the wrong shoes for the wrong period of time can cause more damage than you think. Hammer toe and bunions are the leading deformities in black women, and Dr. Yolanda Raglan is the first black and only female podiatrist with practices dedicated solely to the correction of these type of deformities. So let this black girl do some magic and fix your feet. For more information, visit fixyourfeet.com, providing medically necessary surgery with a cosmetic result.
I'm Maggie Anderson. I am the creator of the Empowerment Experiment and the author of Our Black Year, my family's year-long stand, completely living off of black-owned businesses. When we decided to take on this public pledge, we had no idea how hard it would be. There was only one black-owned grocery store in all of Illinois, and that grocery store closed 5 months before we finished our year. And I have 2 little girls. That means no fresh milk, no fresh meats, no fresh produce. But I put them through that because we took the stand and we wanted really to do something extreme out of love for our community, to expose how few black businesses there still are, to refute negative stereotypes about black-owned businesses, and to expose economic injustice that still persists in America. After the year, I decided that I could not go back to corporate. I could not go back to law. I've made this issue of economic racism and really trying to create economic empowerment in our black community my life. The black hair care firms, they sustained the civil rights movement. Black women created these companies, huge, thriving companies. And we needed that. We talk about Black Wall Street now because we shine light on what happened in Tulsa. Most black neighborhoods were anchored by these Black Wall Streets. And if we could bring that back, America would be better. I'm not saying bring all of it back. That would probably be impossible. But we can bring black hair care back. There are great black hair care companies that exist, black-owned hair care companies that exist right now. And it would be wonderful for, in America, just like other groups own their culturally relevant products and industries, that the black community can own the biggest black hair care brands, that the black community can own black beauty supply stores. 3% of the beauty supply stores in black neighborhoods, and black people know what I'm talking about. If you go into a black neighborhood, you're going to see a beauty supply store, and they're going to sell all the black hair care products that only black people use, and they are not owned by black people. So I've issued the Black Owned Hair Care Challenge, just asking everyday folks to say, "Hi, my name is Maggie Anderson, and I accept the Black Owned Hair Care Challenge," and tell the world that from now on, if I'm going to buy black hair care products, I'm going to make sure it's from a black-owned company.
You're listening to the Hair Radio Morning Show. I'm Carrie Hines, and we have a very special guest with us today. Her name is Dr. Praneet James. And Dr. James, welcome to the Hair Radio Morning Show.
Well, thank you, Carrie, for having me.
Well, it's my pleasure. Now, you are a trichologist. Why don't you start, tell our listeners out there, what exactly is a trichologist?
Well, Carrie, that's a great question. A trichologist is someone who has studied the science of hair. So I work very closely with clients that are suffering from various hair and scalp disorders, hair loss, or just in general trying to get the hair to a healthy state.
Okay, well, we're gonna really go in that, kind of talk about that a little bit more in just a few minutes. We have a lot of folks out there who are experiencing what appears to be like hair loss or experiencing hair loss. We might as well just say it. And I think that we'll be able to kind of shed some light on some things and
kind of be able to point them in the right direction in terms of seeking treatment or seeking help. Now, listen, in full disclosure, Dr. James, I have to say to all of the fans of the Hair Radio Show and those who've already purchased How to Get Rich in the Hair Business book, you are featured in this great book. So, by yours truly. So I want to thank you for that and just point it out to everybody that in addition to this wonderful opportunity we have to talk to you today, that they can always pick up the How to Get Rich in the Hair Business book because you bring the hair talk and they can read it word for word in this book. So I just want to mention that, get that out of the way a bit. Now, Dr. James, you were just telling us in terms of what trichology is. Let's just go back a little bit. Tell the folks where you're from and where you operate from.
I am originally from Norfolk, Virginia. I currently stay about 30 minutes away from Norfolk in the beautiful city of Virginia Beach, Virginia, where I also operate my salon, natural hair salon and clinic, which is known as Fruit of the Spirit Hair Care Studio and Clinic.
All right. Well, we're going to be checking back with you on that throughout the broadcast. I'm going to remind all the folks out there, keep reminding everybody about this wonderful place that you have so when they're in the area, they can check it out. Now, let us delve into this wonderful world of trichology. You see a lot of folks who have, in their opinion, experienced hair loss. But let's flip it. What do you think? What is the most common type of issue that you treat there in your shop in the way of hair loss?
That's a great question, Carrie. There are so many different variations of different conditions that I treat. For the most part, I find that a lot of women are coming into the clinic with traction alopecia. Traction alopecia is just one of the different variations of alopecia. There are so many. But what traction alopecia is when the client has or the actual stylist who rendered the service has caused trauma to the hair follicle. And in some instances, it can be reversed if it's caught, you know, early enough or, they're seeing the early signs. However, if they wait too long, then the follicles can become dormant, whereas, you know, it's not reversible. So that is the main alopecia. That's the number one. And then, you know, I'm seeing androgenetic alopecia, where it's, you know, it's from the genetics. It's, in, you know, hereditary. And then I'm seeing a lot of seborrheic dermatitis, wherein that can also lead, you know, to hair loss or staining around the hairline if it's not treated. So, again, there's so many different variations, but pretty much those are the number one types that I'm seeing.
Okay, well, in talking about it a bit, especially the traction alopecia, is that the one that's identified most with, like, the tight braids and the pulling from the scalp for the tight ponytail type things? Tell us a little bit. What are some of the common styles that seem to contribute to traction alopecia or could lead to it?
The type of styling that could lead to traction alopecia, of course, is the weaving, the tight braids, chemical damage, you know, overprocessing of chemical relaxers, which can also cause scarring alopecia, wherein, you know, in most instances, the hair will not grow back. But for the most part, it's the tight braids, glue, which is definitely a no-no. I wouldn't advise anyone to do the glue ends, even with the so-called protective methods or taking precautionary measures, you still can cause, you know, damage to the follicle itself.
Mm.
So those are pretty much the contributing factors.
Those are okay. Now, I've heard a lot of folks say that they feel like it that there's nothing they can do. You know, and I'm understanding that there are some treatments. You yourself just mentioned that if in some cases, if it's caught early, it can possibly be reversed. What can someone do? What are the steps they should take in terms of first identifying this and then what possibly could they do to minimize this or to reverse this, if you will?
They need to see a trichologist right away when they're experiencing the early signs. Like, say, for instance, they're experiencing excessive hair breakage or they had a chemical service rendered and they, a bald spot occurs, or they're undergoing a tremendous amount of stress, which is also which can also lead to alopecia areata, which I didn't tap or touch on.
Right.
Alopecia areata can be caused by traumatic or chronic stress. Traumatic, of course, is something that happens unexpected, death in the family, loss of job, et cetera. That can contribute to traumatic stress, which, of course, can cause alopecia areata, wherein they may experience one mosaic circular spot in the head. If it goes untreated, then, of course, it spreads, over the head, and it can go into alopecia totalis, where they lose all of the hair and eyebrows, et cetera. And then if it goes untreated, then it can actually go into alopecia universalis, wherein they lose all body hair. Of course, that is an autoimmune type issue,
right.
which, of course, can be targeted with health as well.
Now, the areata, isn't that the one that can possibly, your hair can start to grow back after, maybe the stress is, alleviated in some way? Is that possible?
Absolutely. Yes. It normally takes about 3 to 6 months. If the hair is going to grow back, that's the norm, anywhere between 3 to 6 months with treatment. But that is also a major. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
No, I'm listening to you. Go right ahead.
No, I was just saying that is definitely another major issue that comes into the clinic, the alopecia areata.
Wow. Now, in your clinic, do you treat majority women or men, or is it about even? Do you find that these types of issues are about even?
I would say men are about 20 years ahead in the hair loss industry, whether, they're receiving hair replacement treatments, et cetera. But a lot of women are coming out more so now than ever before. But to answer your question, Carrie, I treat approximately about 70% women and 30% men or males.
But tell us a
males
little
are
bit
very
about
secretive. Males are very secretive. They're not like us women, wherein we, we like to talk about it in a group, et cetera. They, the males, they like to be very, this is a very private issue for them, and they don't really have a support group like the women, do. But for the most part, like I said, I do treat both.
Okay, because I kind of can understand what you mean, because if I could just get away, throw a wig on, and nobody would know it's a wig. I'm out the door. I'm stepping on. And that's kind of how I, So in terms of treatment, being a guy, I guess, that's very possible where we would look at it differently. But I do want to ask about that. You said that, with the men were 20 years ahead. What exactly did you mean by that? I'm not sure if I was clear on that.
Well, with the males, with the hair replacement, like hair club for men and women, et cetera, they actually, took part in the hair replacement units prior to the women. They do like the toupees and the, the hair.
Right.
Of course, they've got a little bit more modern today, but they were actually the ones that started, wearing the hair replacement units or pieces, which is something also that I offer to as a solution to take care of my patients or clients that are suffering from hair loss, to take care of their appearance while they're in the midst of treatment.
Okay. Do they still call it like the prosthesis items
cranial
and all
prosthesis.
Of that? Yeah.
Yes, cranial
okay.
prosthesis or prosthetics, yes.
Okay, wow. This is a vast subject. First of all, folks, if you've just joined us, you're listening to the Hair Radio Morning Show. I'm Carrie Hines, and today's guest is renowned trichologist, Dr. Pranique James. And I'm so excited to have her with us. And and you've been a longtime supporter of the Hair Radio Show, as we pointed out earlier. And we're just very excited to have you with us. And you are the go-to person. You are the go-to trichologist. And just a wonderful stylist. Now, you're a natural hair stylist. So you run the whole gamut. Tell our listeners some of the other things that you do at your salon, some of the other services, I should say.
Sure. As I mentioned earlier, of course, I am the trichologist, but also I am the I'm an all natural focused stylist, meaning that we do not render chemicals within the salon, with the exception of color. But as for relaxers or permanent waving, et cetera, we do not render those type of services. However, whether the client is wanting to wear the hair kinky, coily, or smooth, frizz-free, flowing hair, we are able to achieve those options with chemical-free solutions. So we do provide alternatives to our clients to, of course, maintain the optimal health of the hair.
Okay. And speaking of optimal health of the hair, do you find that a lot of the clients nowadays are coming in with their whole attitude is about what can they do to keep their hair healthy or to get their hair healthy, and then what steps they need to do to keep their hair healthy? And maybe seeing you as that great first step, but what have you noticed at the salon?
Absolutely. A lot of the consumers are coming in, especially naturalists. They're coming in. They're wanting to know what products they can use on their hair, what supplements they can take to maintain healthy hair, et cetera. My approach is a multi-therapy approach. I work inside out. So healthy hair starts within, and it works its way out. So a lot of times clients that are coming in have a lot of nutritional deficiencies, which, of course, reflect in the hair. So let's say, for instance, someone comes in, they have an issue in their, you know, of course, our body, we have 10 different body systems. So a lot of times the women that are coming in, their issues are with their glandular system. That's the system that houses our adrenal glands. That's the system that helps us to deal with stress, menopausal issues, thyroid issues. All of that stems from that particular body system. So, again, back to health, a lot of times it's just a matter of being placed on a customized regimen in order to, you know, achieve the optimum health of the hair. Then, of course, the products, using the correct products in the hair. A lot of times they're using this product, they're using that, and they're actually product junkies. At my salon, I require, before any services are rendered, I do require a consultation to be rendered. It's not a 10-minute or 5-minute consultation. It's actually 45 minutes to an hour where I meet one-on-one with the potential consumer that comes in. I meet with them one-on-one. We address the goals that they desire for their hair. And this is just a more so a basic consultation targeting healthy hair and natural hair. So we discuss their goals that they desire for their hair. Then I conduct a basic hair and scalp analysis to determine how those goals will be achieved. Then I identify their curl type, which is very important in determining what products will work best on their hair to enhance their curl pattern. So, again, they're not becoming a product junkie or, of course, we can better suit their needs. Then we address the various styling options only based upon the condition of their hair, the looks they're opting for, and I also go over an at-home maintenance regimen to follow. So a lot of times, you know, whether the client wants to be salon dependent or they want to take care of their hair at home, my right. number one goal is to make sure that they understand how to maintain the health of the hair. So if I have someone come, you know, a naturalist that comes in wherein they just want to know what type of products to use in their hair, I don't just sell them the products. I make sure that we do a tutorial. They know step one, step two, step three. I write them out a customized prescription on how to use the products. A lot of times, you know, you have to mix parts, et cetera, and the regimen is specifically designed for the individual. There is no one particular treatment or product that's going to work 100% across the board for each client. So that's why I recommend the consultation. So therefore, everybody's on the same page, and we're moving in, you know, in the right direction.
What you say about the products, I mean, that just seems to be key. When we look at television, we are, you know, constantly seeing so many different new items on the market to treat hair loss. What's your take on it? And why do we see so much and nothing seems to really be effective in terms of what we see on TV?
Of course, you know, every time you turn around, like you said, you're seeing this product come out, this product, et cetera. Again, back to knowing exactly what the issues are will pretty much determine what is needed for that particular individual. Like I said, there is no one-size-fits-all.
No, there isn't.
I highly recommend, you know, them coming in if they're not in my area, if they're having hair loss issues, et cetera, they need to seek a trichologist. So therefore they'll know exactly what the issue is versus treating the symptom, they can get to the source of what's going on. Because if they don't target this, what's going on, the actual problem itself at hand, then they're going to spin their wheels. If this product doesn't work, let me try this. Somebody said this is working and nothing is working. So they're wasting their money and their time, versus just, you know, going to seek professional professional consultation, and again, determining what's going to work best for them as an individual.
I see. Wow. Well, folks, again, if you've just joined us, you're listening to the Hair Radio Morning Show. I'm Carrie Hines, and I want to take a moment to just thank Dr. Praneet James for being with us today. Dr. James, again, welcome to Hair Radio, and thank you so much for being with us.
Thank you, Carrie. I'm really enjoying myself talking about what I love.
Well, I
can actually
so
go on and on and on. I don't think you have enough time
well,
for me
okay.
today.
Yes, we do.
Okay.
We've got 3 full hours here at the Hair Radio Morning Show.
Oh, wow.
And if you need more, we'll look into that.
Okay.
Speaking of which, actually, you bring up a very good point, because even following this interview today, folks can still read a whole lot more of what you have to say about hair care in my book, How to Get Rich in the Hair Business. So I'm very excited because you were kind enough to make a contribution to us and in the way of some wonderful hair ideas and some, you know, hair loss prevention ideas and so forth. And we really, really appreciate that. In fact, you mentioned something, and maybe you can help us to get to understand this, those of us who are novices, and we're not stylists, but what exactly in terms of not identifying the curl pattern, but the classification, the 4C, the this, the that, what does that mean? You know what
okay.
I mean in terms of, yeah, different classes. Is there a way that you can explain that so we at least have some kind of idea and we can take it from there?
Oh, absolutely. For the most part, the curl classifications or curl types, again, are determined, or the products that you use in your hair are determined by your curl type or your curl classification. And also how much heat is used on the hair, et cetera. You'll find that your looser curl pattern or wavy patterns will fall below the 3 or the earlier 3, 2, and 1 curl types. You'll find that your tighter curl types will be in the 4 category. You have your 4A, which is more so prone to frizz. That's more of a coily, curly type curl pattern. And then, of course, you have your 4B and then, of course, your 4C, which will be more your zigzag, which is the tightest on the charting. So, again, knowing your curl type will definitely take a lot of guesswork out of what products work best on your hair, what shampoos and conditioners, styling aids, all of that. And speaking of shampoos and conditioners, let me kind of tap on that as well.
Sure.
I find that I travel all over the country and do the different natural hair shows, and a lot of times I'm finding that the naturalistas, they're quick to pick up the styling product but forget all about the foundation, all right? The foundation definitely has to be addressed properly prior to coming in with styling aids. Of course, that has a lot to deal with your porosity and your elasticity, and just to kind of tap on that, that means a lot as well. when you're determining what products work in your hair, what you need to use for your hair, et cetera. The porosity is the ability for the hair to hold absorb moisture or product. And then, of course, the elasticity is the ability for the hair to stretch and return to its natural state without popping or shedding. So it's good to actually have those two tests rendered as well before you actually determine what products will work best in your hair. And that should be something addressed in a consultation when you go visit your local stylist or you're considering going natural or you're completely natural. Now back to the foundational products. Your foundational products should always consist of a clarifying shampoo. I hear a lot about co-washing, and I'll get to that in a moment.
Right, yes.
You should always have a clarifying shampoo. And I think the fear with a lot of the consumers that are natural, they don't want to properly cleanse their hair or completely submerge their hair in shampoo because they are afraid of the hair drying out or becoming really right. tangly, et cetera. But if you have the proper balance regimen, meaning that your hair, once you finish styling your hair or applying your styling products, your hair should be at a pH balance of 4.5 to 5.5. The scale runs from 1 to 14, and each product that you apply to your hair has a certain pH level. If you don't know it, know what the pH of each product you're using in your hair and how to determine that. You're going to be spinning your wheels. So back to your shampoo, you should always come in with a clarifying shampoo first. Clarifying shampoos will come in and remove any and everything that has deposited onto the hair shaft, oils, dirt, debris, minerals, some sweat. That deposit on the shaft make the hair very dry and brittle. Medications, if they, you know, go swimming, it takes everything out. And then your second shampoo should be determined upon your finished look. So if they're wanting to wear their hair curly or coily, they should be using a moisturizing shampoo that's geared towards texture. If they're wanting to smooth their hair, do a steam press or a silk press, then they need to be using a smoothing shampoo that's also a moisturizing shampoo designed for smoothing the hair, because those type of shampoos contain chionic polymers. Chionic polymers is a smoothing complex that prepares the hair for heat. It actually smooths the cuticle layer, so it makes the hair, it makes it more easier for the stylist or the consumer to actually go in with heat and smooth the hair. If they're using a shampoo that's geared towards curly, they're going to find that their silk press is not going to last as long. It's going to be a little bit more challenging to go in and smooth the hair. And then, of course, it doesn't have the heat protectants or the humidity blockers built in. And then they should be rotating their conditioning regimen. The hair is just like the body, so if they constantly use the same conditioners, eventually the hair will not respond. And this is just general. And once you build that foundation coming in with the proper shampoo and conditioning regimen, now, of course, your shampoos and conditioners should be sulfate-free. A lot of times, That's general. However, if they're experiencing any type of hair or scalp disorders, dry scalp, seborrheic dermatitis, eczema, psoriasis, they shouldn't be using any shampoos that contain SLS, which is sodium lauryl sulfate. And you'll find that a lot of the shampoos that state they're sulfate-free, they'll still have the SLS built in, which is very mild. A milder form of sulfate. And what sulfate is, it's just like you use a dish detergent in your hair. Sulfate
That's
actually goes
right.
in and it strips the hair, makes the hair very dry. But as for the conditioners, again, rotating the conditioners, they should be using a protein and moisturizing treatment. However, too much protein can snap the hair, too little can as well, so they do want to make sure that both contents are properly balanced, and any other specifics that they may need. If they're suffering from hair loss, then, of course, there are treatment shampoos that are on the market that will cater to the hair loss, if their hair is very dry or porous, et cetera. Go ahead, Carrie. I'm sorry.
And no, I just wanted to jump in. No, I love this. I wanted to just say it seems to me that a lot of this would there's no way that just a person on the street would kind of know these things. So how do they find a trichologist? I mean, does every hairstylist know all of this, or do you work with their stylist? What's the role of the trichologist in terms of how do you connect with the person? How does the person connect with you? How do they find you? And then what would you suggest that they do to even connect with a trichologist to begin with? Because it seems to me that they, they need to work with, you know, that they have to, it's an education process as well, it sounds like to me.
Oh, absolutely. It's tons of education is ongoing. You know, the industry is constantly changing, just like just with hair in general, it constantly changes. But my advice for someone that is looking to become a trichologist, I would recommend them.
Oh, no, no, I mean, looking to connect with one. I mean, I'm
okay,
right,
I'm sorry. Misunderstood your question. Okay. Okay, internet searching, like in my area, if they type in trichologist, you know, I pop up. I'm the only trichologist within, you know, the Hampton Roads area. The closest near me is in the DMV, which is in your northern Virginia area. Trichologists are very rare. I am creating a program where I'm working with stylists or cosmetologists, you know, providing them with a referral fee for referring to clients that are suffering from hair loss. And then I can write out a prescription on, you know, what they need to do. If they, you know, when they return back to their stylist on, you know, what products their stylist need to use, you know, et cetera, or they may come once a month to me and still continue their service with their stylist, you know, et cetera.
So it's like a team approach.
Oh, absolutely. It has to be a team approach. You know, once they come and have treatments done, they don't want to return to what they were previously doing because they're just, you know, defeating the purpose. But like I said, for the most part, is a, you know, an inner issue working inside out. So for the most part, if they're placed on the proper regimen health-wise as for, you know, nutritional supplements, then, of course, that will help, you know, the outer. So that's pretty much what, you know, the steps we take. And then, of course, we treat topically and we come in with electrotherapy treatments. All of that is inclusive in, you know, coming to a trichologist. Hopefully I'm answering your question and not going around this mulberry bush.
No, I think you're doing a great job.
okay.
And I'm listening to every word you say. My other question, I was just thinking as you were explaining that, what about the cost? Now, this seems to me that this is beyond, I call it para hair. This is beyond the you know, the typical styling services type thing in general. You know, of course, it can be part of it, as you explained earlier. But is this something that quite possibly insurance might cover? Is that even possible in some cases? Or is this – because it sounds so medical and so – you know, it just sounds very – like a different level beyond styling services that you generally find with a hairstylist or a barber.
That is a great question. Still to date, the insurance companies do not cover the trichology treatments. However, they do cover hair replacement. However, you know, it has to be pre-approved by their insurance company, and it will fall in the category of cranial prosthetics as for them, you know, as providing them with a solution, you know, to take care of their appearance. But still to date, they don't cover trichology, you know, the trichology aspect of it, which is sad, but we're working towards that at this point, and in the near future, it should, you know, come into effect.
And one of the biggest questions that I should have asked you kind of at the top, and you kind of explained a whole lot since then, which has been fantastic, but clearly the difference between a dermatologist and a trichologist.
Well, again, that's another great question, Carrie. You have so many great questions. The difference, and that's a very important question. The difference between a trichologist and a dermatologist. A dermatologist is someone who more so specializes in derma or skin. However, they have been trained to, you know, work with hair slightly. But when a consumer goes to a dermatologist and they say, okay, I have this issue with my scalp, et cetera, the dermatologist is only going to treat the symptom, meaning they're going to maybe suggest cortisone injections or some type of topical solution, et cetera, which, of course, only pacifies the problem. On the other hand, or causes some other side effect. On the other hand, when a consumer comes to a trichologist, we take a multi-therapy approach to overall hair health, meaning that we're going to, you know, get to the source of what's going on to provide more of a permanent solution versus something that's, you know, only going to be semi-permanent or temporary.
Okay,
actually.
Got it.
And even when they go to
Are you a stylist, barber, nail tech, or involved in personal care on any level? Are you good at what you do? I bet you are. And as being as good as you are, that leaves you less time to handle your clients. I mean, as far as booking appointments, product sales, pricing, and all that. Well, I have something that'll help you on that end and still allow you to be great. ChairWatch. It's a new mobile booking platform that allows your client direct access to you. It'll allow them to book, change, cancel appointments, place themselves on standby, buy products, and even be able to send you direct messages. And that is just a taste of all the services that ChairWatch provides. Sounds good? Then check it out at ChairWatch.com, or you can download the app via the Apple Store or Google Play. ChairWatch, a new and better way to connect with your clients.
Hi, I'm Jossie from Jossie's All Natural. Have you been struggling with keeping your natural hair healthy or desire to achieve substantial hair growth? Then Jossie's All Natural is here to help you. My natural creams, conditioners, lotions, hair mists, balms, shampoos, and detanglers are gentle enough for the whole family and all hair types. Not only do I provide natural hair products, I also give step-by-step techniques to ensure healthy hair in a pure and gentle fashion, from roots to ends. Come on and visit me at www.jossiesallnatural.com. That's JossieAllNaturale.com for a true natural hair experience like you've never had before.
All right, you're listening to the all-new Hair Radio Morning Show. I'm Carrie Hines. I have a very, very special guest joining us today. He's a legendary hairstylist. It is my great honor to welcome to the show for the very, very first time, Mr. Eugene Davis. Good morning, and welcome to the Hair Radio Morning Show.
Good morning. Good morning, Carrie. Thank you for having me on. I'm glad to be here.
Well, it is my pleasure. Now, yes, I mean, this is exciting for us. First of all, you've been in this hair and industry for a very long time. So we're going to count some years. So for like 30 years, if not more. So tell us about your journey.
Okay, well, it's been 30 plus some years now. I started when I was about 19 in the hair industry. When I first came out of cosmetology school, I started assisting. And I started assisting for someone who worked for Soshin Carlson back in the day when we were doing Café Curl, Wave Nouveau, and all those different things.
Mm-hmm.
And he also was a weave master. So this was my introduction into commercial hair introduction into texture, taking one texture and creating another texture. And I just thought it was amazing. And my passion and my love grew for hair at that point and developed very quickly. I went on from there. I was in upstate New York. That's where I went to school at for cosmetology. And I lived upstate in Albany during this time. As my skills to grow, I ended up coming to New York City quite a bit because I had a friend who worked at ANS when it used to be, I think, on 34th Street or 35th Street in Manhattan. And during that time, a lot of really good makeup artists worked for ANS, and they were doing photo shoots or different types of stuff. So one of my friends called me, who was a makeup artist, and said, "Hey, we got a shoot. We need you to bring down some Afro wigs." And I was like, "Afro wigs? Okay, whatever. Let me bring them down." So I brought them down. We did the shoot, and the photographer really liked me and said, "Would you be interested in doing more stuff?" But at that time, where I was at, I was just about working in the salon. I didn't think there was another path or another career in this industry. So the next time the photographer called me down, and the next time I came down with my friend, they introduced me to a makeup artist named Sam Fine. Me and Sam Fine hit it off very well, and he introduced me to quite a few people, and the rest was history. Before I knew it, I was shooting Before I knew it, I had moved back down to New York, downstate to New York City. I lived in Brooklyn, and then from there, I started to just word of mouth at that time because there was no social media. People were calling me, and one of my first big jobs for, I guess, an artist at the time that I got through a company called Mecca. Mecca Clothing Line was around at the time.
Yes.
And they were managing, one of the guys was managing Adina Howard. So,
yes.
So I got
that was a Freak Like Me song, I think.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah, I love
exactly.
That. Yeah.
That was my album cover.
Wow.
And from there, he introduced me to Deborah Martin, who was my became my agent, and she was like one of the top, black-owned agencies at that time. She had the legendary Tippi Shorter was on the roster.
Wow.
DeAndre Michaels, who is Mary J. Blige's and Angela Bassett's makeup artist, so we had Chris Maldonado who died with Aaliyah on the plane.
Wow.
He saw the roster. So there was there was so many more. Then we had Nzinga Gums, who was and originally Little Kim, Mary, Aaliyah, so many at that time. She was a makeup artist. So with those kind of connections, it just kind of spread like wildfire. How I got into the industry pretty innocently, didn't know what I was doing, but I knew I loved to do hair. And I knew that I'd love to see it when the videos came out. So then to sum it up with Deborah Martin, she booked me for my a video that just set it off in the industry, the hip-hop music industry for me, where I just was constantly being booked and coming up with images. And it was One More Chance by Biggie Smalls.
Oh,
Did not know who Biggie Smalls was at the time. Had no clue that this many artists would be in that video, but it was the dark career when it came to celebrity hairstyling and getting my foot in the door on that aspect, on that level. Yeah.
Well, that's what I love about your story. And just in general, when it comes to working with what I've found in my little experience with the celebrity connects and contacts is that once you have a successful experience with one or a couple, boy, they pass you around like your name, real quick.
Yes.
I love it.
Yes, they
I love it.
Yes, they do. And it was great because then that just opened me up to more bigger productions. From doing Biggie Smalls, I got to know Faith Evans. And then they introduced me to Little Kim, and I got to do her first album cover and all of her first initial videos. And then with Ladies Night video we did in Miami, I got on board with TLC. I got on board with Changing Faces, Queen Latifah, Total. It was just the list just went on and on and on and on and on. And I was working, and I was having a great time, and I was young, and I was just like, wow. But in that time, too, looking in hindsight, looking back, or even speaking to my younger self, I wish I was that person that I am today to say, okay, you have this going on. It feels good, but what are you going to do in the future? How do you capitalize on this for the future? And so although it looked glamorous, I'm going to keep it real. It had its downfall because there was a lot of things that went along with sustaining that kind of energy all the time, or just being a part of something that I hadn't been exposed to before. I was now exposed to. And there was a lot
of
parties.
Things like what? We want to hear that. Like what kinds of things might you not,
Well, like alcohol. Alcohol,
oh,
drugs.
Okay.
All these things were a part of that lifestyle.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And even with a lot of the young people, when it comes to, like, being insta-famous and doing these celebrities and stuff, it's still there. It hasn't changed. That beast has not changed. But it's about how you navigate yourself through it and how you, and even if you fall, or even if you fall into those things that are around you and you get involved into them, there is a way out. And
exactly.
So in my career, I had a time when addiction and alcohol became a problem. I didn't see it as a problem. But it was by God's grace that when at some point I recognized and I was like, this is not normal. You know what I mean? You wake up, you reach over for a bottle, you take a swig, and then you keep it moving. Like, that's not normal. I wasn't brought up like that, but yet I was in it. So I had to make decisions. So in that time, I made a decision that this is not what I wanted. I needed to get out. And then after Chris had died with Aaliyah on the plane crash was just something that just changed because he was a very good friend of mine. So it just kind of changed how I saw things. I figured we were living too fast. Like, what is the cost of being a celebrity hairstylist? You know what I mean? So I had to challenge myself and say, can I leave this part of the industry and still excel and still find my and still have my voice and still find a way to do what I love, but also help others so they don't get caught into these traps.
Absolutely.
Hence where I am.
No,
today.
Go ahead, please. Yes. Well,
when it comes to, like, go ahead. I'm sorry.
No, Eugene. I'm loving every single thing. I'm just passionate. So please finish your thought. So today, where you are today is what you were about to say. So please.
Yeah, so where I am today, my passion is about just giving knowledge to a younger generation, but or even giving knowledge to those who have been behind the chair or those who have been in the industry or those who are Instagram famous, you don't have but you have to think about your future. You have to come to a place of reality and find your voice. You know, you don't have to, be in the midst of celebrity and feel like that is all there is, and you get caught up. And many, many, many people who I know personally who got caught up in that, and their health failed because of addiction. Their health failed because of drugs. Their health failed because of disease. That we were losing so many great people because that lifestyle perpetuated to do these certain things in order to stay relevant. And I think my information that I give now, because I've come through that storm, is you don't have to. You can find other ways. And now with the internet and social media and stuff, you can definitely find a way to find your relevance or your positioning in this industry. And I'm a testament to that. You know, I retired my chair about 6 years ago when I left England to come to America. And I had to refocus and find out what I wanted to do. And what I really wanted to do is really educate the consumer, but also educate the artists that are out there and in more ways than one. Not only do I want to show them old school techniques, you know what I mean, because that has gotten lost. Everybody uses a flat iron for everything, which doesn't make sense. Right, there's so many, an arsenal of tools, and we just use one. Like, come on now. That's why everybody's thinking the same. So we need to get back to, so my voice is getting back to understanding product and what it does when styling, and customers understanding when purchasing, what product are you purchasing? Why are you purchasing? What is your hair type like? So we can save money on when we're buying. So it's like right now, I'm really all about holding the industry accountable, holding ourselves accountable, educating each other, and understanding, especially in the Black community, the value of our dollar, the power behind our spending when it comes to the hair care and beauty industry. We spend so much money, more than any other demographic, and but yet we don't have the control. So I guess in everything that I'm doing, to sum it up, is I'm about empowering others, whether you are stuck somewhere, whether you're trying to get somewhere, whether you need to understand technical, or whether you need to just support. I think that's my voice. I want to help whoever wants to be helped and to direct them, so maybe they won't make some of the mistakes that I made, although on paper it looks great. But there was a struggle in there, which brings me to today, and I've come through that fire.
Wow. Well, let me just say this, Eugene. Let me just catch everybody up, because this is an incredible story that you shared with us today, and I'm just loving every part of it. You're helping so many people with your journey and your story here. First, folks, if you're just joining us, if you're just tuning in to the broadcast, you're listening to an incredible story from a first-time guest today. So I'm so grateful that he is sharing this incredibly personal story with all of the listeners, and hope to really reach out and connect on that level. This gentleman is truly a legendary stylist, as you've just heard, with all of his amazing connections. It's almost not enough just to say a celebrity stylist or this. No. There's a person behind it, as you've just heard. So let me just officially welcome back Eugene Davis. I have to say, I'm just blown away at this, because I've interviewed a lot of folks on this show, of course. We've had a lot of stylists and people work with everybody. But I've never heard it communicated in that way. And to talk of challenges with addiction and things of that nature that we need to talk about and have those conversations, and they have to hear it from someone who may have gone through to the other side. I so appreciate you, not being shy about communicating that, because it's helping people. Today, you're making a difference. So I thank you. It just warms my little soul and spirit, Eugene. So thank you so much for that. Okay, I really mean that. Okay, so now I've got to tell everybody about this. I love your website. So let me tell everybody, I love it, okay? So I'm going to have you to tell everybody what your website is, and then we're going to talk about what I saw there. So just fill everybody in, Eugene. What is your website address so folks can find you?
Okay, my website address is www.eugenedavis.hair. And on my website, you can find all the information about me, about a lot of the accomplishments that I have had through my career. And I also have a portfolio of images along with some videos of stuff that I do. But I also update my log, which is like a blog, but they call it a log. I update it pretty much every day or every other day with helpful insight into the industry. If you are a consumer or you are a professional hairstylist, I supply information, tips and tricks, and just like even some questions when I challenge the industry for their accountability.
Well, I have to say this. I just love this. I want to ask you a couple of questions, because when I saw this, I want you to tell the folks. I certainly have a clue what you mean, but for folks who may not. So when you say fabric of hair expert, what do you mean? And let me also say this. On his website, he goes on, fabric of hair expert, product to consumer educator, which I personally love, creative director, wig pioneer, doesn't get any better than that. So please tell us about some of these wonderful, wonderful aspects of the spectrum that you're on. So so when it comes to fabric of hair expert, what is that all about?
Okay. When I say Fabric of Hair Expert, it is a brand or something I coined that I am, because I didn't want to keep saying I was a black hair expert, or I was a, I did, don't say you're a white hair expert, or I'm a Chinese hair expert. You don't go to the dentist and say I got black teeth, right? I got teeth. So hair is hair to me. You know what I mean? So I just wanted to put it out there that when I present
it.
Myself, I wanted people to know me, that I am a fabric of hair. Hair is a fabric, and it's something that we can work with, and we have to understand it, and we have to know the tools to create whatever we want with it. So I'm an expert in that, in every aspect of texture, and every expert of product knowledge. So that's what I mean by fabric of hair expert.
Well,
so
can I give you credit for that, Eugene, because I'm going to have to borrow that fabric of hair line. I love it, and I'll tell you why.
Okay.
Because I've always referred to the different textures of hair as a tapestry. And
yes,
that has always
absolutely.
Been something that I've believed in. So that fits right in with that. Thank you for that.
Yeah,
thank
definitely.
You.
And I think the narrative, one of the things that I started to talk about is the narrative had to change. And we have talking about hair as hair. One of the things my teacher, when I was in cosmetology a long time ago, she always told me, hair is hair. And I think that's why I've never been afraid, despite the educational system that only really educate us on European, European textured hair.
Right, right. Eurocentric hair,
So one of the things that I found that when I was coming, she was like, no, hair is hair. You need to know curly. You need to know zigzag. You need to know coily. You need to know wavy. You need to need, you just need. And then we didn't have all of the, classifications for hair types. But she always taught me just approach it as hair. Once you look at the hair, you analyze it. What do you do next? Where do you want to go with it? Okay, how are you going to get there? What are you going to use to get there? And what is your finished result? What do you want it to look like? And that's how I've always approached everything that I have done.
Wow. Well, let me ask you, on a sidebar note here, you've done so much industry work. Literally, I mean,
yes.
You were really in the industry, making such a contribution in the way of hair and beauty on sets and all of that. But what do you think about the argument sometimes I see on the internet where they say these days in Hollywood where there, did you ever notice that there was a shortage of people of color providing services on sets and things like that that could respond to all textures of hair, even natural or what have you? Did you ever find that, or was that something that you just didn't notice during your tenure out there?
Yes, it was definitely something that I noticed all the time. I was always the only one in the room.
Wow.
But you know what? My personality, I love challenge, and I love – the fact that my mindset when I would go to places or do things or had the opportunity to come on because they had someone with texture and they needed a texture expert to come in, I used those opportunities to know the photographer, to know the creative directors, to know whoever it was in there and let them know that, okay, this is what I do and you can always call me for this, but I also do everything else, so that I had an advantage, especially as a lot of people of color in England and in America started to come to the forefront and started to become celebrity, that there was a demand. And a lot of our white counterparts could not meet that demand, hence where we started to step in because we didn't have a choice but to know how to do everything. They have a choice to say, oh, I don't want to. I don't want to learn about African texture here. But it needs to be a standard where they need to know all textures so that we can go anywhere and sit in anybody's chair and have a service done, whether it be at Fashion Week, whether it be in Hollywood, whether it be at a television station, that we need to be present. And if not just us, that our white counterparts need to be held accountable so they know how to do our textures too. You know what
Absolutely.
I mean? So our celebrities can feel comfortable no matter where they go, because that has been – so when you ask, to answer your question, it's like, yes, it has been an issue. Like, for instance, when I started doing Fashion Week, I started to see behind the scenes and who was doing things, and I saw there was a lot of models, and I saw that the black models at that time didn't get the attention or get the creative finish that the white girls with straighter hair got, because the white artists, hairstylists, didn't know what to do with their texture.
They must have felt absolutely awful, the models. You know what I mean? Wow.
Yeah, well, let me give you a perfect example. I came on a fashion show with a top hairstylist. He hired me to be on his team. And I saw he had like 3 or 4 black models, but then he had his right-hand assistant who was quite average. Was like, I know everything, so you go over there and do that. So I said, okay. So I'm always humble, so I started doing what I was doing, and I finished my models. And I looked behind me, and he was working on a black girl. Now, all we had to do was pull this girl's hair back into a ponytail and then make it quite add extension to make it sleek. He decided, now her hair was already blow dried. He decided to spray it with a water bottle. I was like, what are you doing? So, and then the model gets upset. It's like, oh my God, I can't go out here like this. My hair is natural underneath, and he wasn't natural underneath, man. And it was just a whole big fiasco. So I just stepped in, we blow dried the hair and put the ponytail and sent it on the way. And that's when I realized, wow, these people don't have a clue.
Is that not something?
Moving, wow. Go ahead. Yeah.
No,
so
I was just
forward.
Yeah. Wow.
So
yes,
just saying, moving forward, what I started to do was, because eventually I started getting booked as the lead hairstylist, which meant that I would work directly with the designers and makeup artists to create the looks for shows. So what I would do through my travels and experience, I would build teams between America and London with people that I knew understood all textures. So then if I had a team of 7 hairstylists, no matter who sat in our chair, we could knock it out according to what was required. And that's what I started to do. And so, again, I've always have said to myself, and I've said to my wife, like, you know what, I've always been that person who says, not even understanding, I might be the first one to do it, but just to walk through that door and say, I'm here and I'm ready. You know what I mean? And whatever the challenge is, I'm going to find a way to complete whatever it is to complete. So that has been my way throughout my career, that I'm not afraid to try something new, or I'm not afraid to take on challenges that everyone else wants to stay in the status quo. So I said, no, if this is how it is, then I need to get people who are qualified, who can do, to make not only make the designers and stuff and the show look fabulous, but also work as a team and understand that we can do this and we can all shine in this process.
Absolutely. I have to say, and it's been a big career. What I love that I also read about is that you had a chance to travel abroad and do quite extensive work over there and live for quite a period of time. So, I'm just curious. So, tell me about this whole return back to the States. Tell me the impact that, because I just know you touched everybody. You know, you did something big over the years. So, tell us a little bit about that part of your journey and experience as well.
Yes.
And returning back home, of course.
Okay. Yes. I went to, I think the first time I went to England was 2009, but this was after I decided to walk away from the whole celebrity music industry thing. I dibbled and dabbled for a while, but I decided that that wasn't what I wanted to do anymore, and I didn't have, what's the word I'm looking for? I needed more, and I needed to understand more, and I felt that at that point in my life and everything I had did up to there, I was just a black hairstylist. So when I would reach out to, because before fashion weeks and all of that, but before that, when I would reach out to companies like, oh, I want to, you know, get on your team. I want to, so I started getting interested in brands and I want to do this. I want to do that. I can help teach and educate. And a lot of the brands were like, oh, no, you're a black hairstylist. I'm like, what? I'm a hairstylist.
Oh,
but the industry was very segregated at that time. So just like so many artists that we know through our history, that they decided to leave America. Like, because when I was younger, I used to admire the fact that Patrick Kelly was in Paris and he was doing so well. And then there was another designer, Willie Smith, who also went to Europe, you know, at the time. And James Baldwin, you know what I mean? There's so many great creators to leave America or decided to leave America to not to just understand that they were great at what they did, but were they great because you are a black hairstylist, or were you great because you are a hairstylist? Were you great because you are a black designer, or are you great because you are a good designer?
Yes, go ahead. Please finish your thought. What do you think?
So going to Europe for me was a chance. Mm-hmm. I just decided one day, a friend of mine who had salons over there was like,
yes,
could you come help manage my salons and teach my staff? And I was like, sure. And I just went. I just
left.
Wow. My mother was like, where you going? I was like, going to England. What are you
going
to do?
I'm going to England.
No. Yep.
Wow.
So I said, I don't know, but I'm going. So I ended up going to Europe, and in that time, I saw that there was a need for education big time in the area. There were some great hairstylists and some great stylists who invested into their education, but the general was a lot of salons that didn't have. So what I did, so at some point, L'Oreal had launched Mazzani. And I got on board with L'Oreal and Mazzani, and I helped to build that brand amongst the Afro-Caribbean community in England, along with other really well-known hairstylists over in the UK.
And that's a big, big community. Let me just say, I've been to England. I've been to London. I've seen it's a huge community, folks. And this is a big deal. Yes. So I am just... I'm blown away. This is some great information, great things that we can hang our hat on. And I'm kind of picturing all of this as you're describing it.
Goodness.
I think this, it's phenomenal to me that you've had this storied career. It's just been, you know, it's not, I know, like you said earlier, and I love what you said, because, yes, it's, on paper, yes, and even, you know, in talking about it, yes, it did have a whole bunch of wonderful moments. But you've like I said, I love that you've always kept a mind in reality, it seems, with this. And, you know, a good way to look at everything and just remember to be an inspiration to others. And that's what seems to really push through with your story today. Listen, I got to remind the folks, because every so often we get a few new listeners on. And I want to say today is my very, very special guest is joining me. And I'm so happy. And I'm going to tell you why in a moment. His name is Eugene Davis. And I love your website, eugenedavis.hair, not .com, .hair. So I love that as well. We'll talk about that in just a bit. But you've just been just making such a difference in the hair and beauty world. So this is really awesome. And you connected with everybody. I mean, you've named some huge stars, Eugene. You really have. I'm like, okay, wow. So this is nice. So what is this journey? What is it, you know, what does it still mean to you? What does it mean to you, I should say, at this point? Because there, you know, it has changed, I believe, but maybe you might not get or maybe you might think it's changed quite a bit or not changed so much. What are your thoughts, Eugene, today?
I do. I think the industry has changed. There's a lot that goes on now that would not have been tolerated before. So I believe now with all the diversity, the inclusion, all of the people opening up and asking questions to big corporate America about, especially in the beauty industry and the hair industry, about inclusion, about having us present. I think that's a big thing right now. And I think that we as a community, as a hair community, still need to keep our voices relevant. We need to still speak out on the injustices and inequality that we see in the beauty industry, because it's still there and we're still knocking on doors, which we should never stop doing. But we need to stop pushing those doors open too in order for us to let others come through. So I think for me, where I am and my career and everything I've done, like I said, I want to be a glass ceiling breaker. So if there's a glass ceiling, I'm going to break it. Come on, everybody, let's go. You know what I mean? But
yes,
when we get in
absolutely.
There, I'm holding you accountable to do the right thing so that you can prepare the way for the next person behind you. And that's what's so important to me. And that's where I am today. So everything I've done, everything I've touched, is for someone to read it and be inspired and know that, oh, my God, I can do that. Because he did it, I can do it. You know, so,
well, Eugene,
so that's
Davis,
where my message is.
That's what I'm loving this. What is next for you?
Okay, I got a few projects in the mix, but I believe that right now I'm really concentrating on getting my messaging out, talking to people like yourselves or the media, and just to keep inspiring people that we can do better and just showing them the way and how to get there and helping them navigate to wherever their passion and whatever their dream and whatever their desire is. Because I've touched so many areas, if I can help you get there, and if I can support you and save you some of the headaches that I had, then I'm gonna show you how to get there. But I think my next thing is I want to I don't know.
Well,
I think media is my thing.
Yes. And I'm going to spill a little bit of this right now for our listeners and the fans of the Hair Radio Morning Show. I think they're going to love this. Listen, I am bringing this amazing, incredible artist in my book and the world book of the world. we're bringing you to the Hair Radio Morning Show. So those folks out there, you guys have enjoyed this. You're going to absolutely enjoy much more of this. With the legendary, I hope you know I'm putting the word legendary in front of Eugene, Eugene Davis. So we are going to have you here to share because there's so much, and I love this. You pointed out on your website, you're not just helping folks. Yes, you provide amazing client care and information and all that kind of stuff to folks who need it, but also to the professionals who. Would appreciate that, you know, learning from someone who's been around for a while in this industry. And so, please, I can't wait. We're excited to have you here. We're going to share more of those details very soon with all of you guys. So you have to keep tuning in so you will know when Eugene is here and what we've got to say and what he's got to say. So, Eugene, I just want to say, how was your first experience here in Hot Seat here on the Hair Radio Morning Show?
It's been amazing. I'm so thankful because you are great, and I love talking with you, and I love, you know, the conversation is good. And I just love being here because it's something that I wanted to do, wanted to experience, and this is my first, you know, experience on a radio show. So it's been great. I'm looking forward to doing
all
more stuff with you.
Well, now, what would you like to leave everybody with today? Any shout-outs or final thoughts?
I guess my final thought is that I've learned through everything that I do that we need to love each other, that whether it's, you know, your neighbor to your right, your neighbor to your left, if we come together, there's so much strength in that. So my philosophy is always each one teach one. So leading others to their success is what I'm all about. And however I can help you get there or give you the knowledge or give you some of my experiences, then hit me up, talk to me, ask me questions. That's what I'm here for.
And you've done just that today on the Hair Radio Morning Show. So, folks, his website, so please go to Eugene Davis' website. His website is actually www. Not that we got to say that anymore, but I just want folks to know, eugenedavis.hair. Okay, not .com, it's .hair. So eugenedavis.hair. You type that into your browser, and there you go. And so we're loving it, and we can't wait just to have you here all the time. So that's going to be very, very soon. So you folks keep it right here, and we'll get you the latest on that. Eugene, awesome job. What can I say? You knocked it out of the park. And welcome to the family here at Hair Radio.
Thank you. Thank you so much. Can I also just say one more thing that they can also find
right ahead.
On Instagram at Eugene Davis Hair 2. That's Eugene Davis Hair 2, the number 2. And you can find me on Instagram also.
Love that. And, of course, right here at the Hair Radio Morning Show.
Yeah.
We'll direct them to you. All right, folks. Well, listen, Eugene, thank you again. All right, folks, right here. You got it. We've got a whole lot more of the Hair Radio Morning Show to get to this morning. Stay with us. We'll be right back. All right, we're back live. You're listening to the all-new Hair Radio Morning Show. I'm Carrie Hines. It's Friday morning, January 28th. Of 2022. It's about 7:32 in the morning, New York time, as we broadcast live. And it's a great pleasure and honor to have you guys with us. If it's mid-show, so about 7:30 New York time, of course, 6:30 around there, Central time, it is, again, another honor to bring to the line a gentleman who keeps us abreast of what's happening out there. I say the Harlem World Report is all about all things that matter. And I'll explain that in just a moment. The Hair Radio Morning Show proudly welcomes on this Friday, January 28th, our show number 663, the one and only Harlem Will. Good morning and welcome, Harlem Will. Is that a nice greeting and welcome back?
Good. Thank you. Thank you. I'm glad to be back. I'm glad to hope everybody's having a good Friday. Happy Friday to everybody in the Hair Radio family. How's everybody
Absolutely.
Going so far?
Well, no, you go ahead, Harlem Will, please.
Oh, no, I'm glad. I was a little under the weather yesterday. Don't worry, I'm not sick. I'm not sick. I just had to stay in for a second. So a little,
yeah,
a little overwhelmed. I took a trip to Margaritaville.
Okay. Well, listen, it is Friday. And I have to say, Harlem Will, you know, these days, whenever, you know, somebody says, you know, I was off yesterday or I'm out, the first thing our minds go to, you guys know what I'm talking about. So I appreciate that you and that it was nothing serious and you're back with us today. I was trying to hold it down. Yesterday in giving pop culture updates, I said, where is Harlem Will? So you know, you cover a lot of stories and things. That's what the Harlem Will Report is all about, you know, touching on things that we might have, you know, not seen or heard in our, that matter to us. And that's the key, that matter to us. What do you say about that, Harlem Will?
No, absolutely. That's exactly what I try to do. I'm doing it from a perspective of, you know, I'm a young brother. Well, no, I'm a brother. I'm of age at this
okay.
point.
Well,
but I'm a brother from
Harlem.
Young
is relative. Okay.
Yeah.
You're young.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I'm young at heart. And you know what? I'm also
actually
observing what's going around. observing something that's going around in the world, and this is something that concerns me, my community, and people who I interact with. And I say, you know what? Let's
Absolutely.
Bring this stuff to light and report this to the people.
Absolutely. And I want to hear some, when you have some time, talk, give us updates on what is happening up in Harlem. You know, I want to make, because a lot of folks who are not from New York, Harlem World, they don't, you know, they don't understand the setup of the boroughs, and they get mixed up between New York. Why do we have New York? And then we have the state New York, and every, it's so confusing to people if you're not from or live in this area. Even people who visited here don't quite get it. I was speaking with a representative. I was speaking with a colleague, an industry colleague, who was just from New Jersey. Wasn't from across the country or down in Florida. He came to visit. He was just from the next state. So I'm not going to name names, okay, and I hope he's not listening right now. But we're in Harlem, and we were talking about being, I think we said Manhattan or something. He had no idea. He thought it was like that it wasn't there, or he didn't understand. I said, one of these days, Harlem will. We're going to break it down for folks just so that I think and use it as an opportunity to educate people about our own cities. And I'm thinking that we're going to get some fans on from the show to talk about their locations and stuff like that. So I digress. Anyway, good morning to you, Harlem Will. And let's roll on with whatever you have planned for us on this Friday, kicking off our weekend with the Harlem Will Report, the HW Report today.
All right. Well, let's go ahead after that sound off. Let's get right into it, okay, guys? So we my first story I'm reporting is that Eric Adams, the mayor of New York City, hires his brother special advisory role and then gets criticism from the reporters, but then he criticizes them right back. So this became interesting. This got interesting. In the New York Post, is reporting that Mayor Eric Adams unleashed on reporters over criticism, of his recent controversial hires, including putting his own brother in a six-figure post, saying an extended answer Friday he will abide by a conflict board ruling. But ultimately, he can hire who he wants because, quote, I'm the mayor. He continues, quote, when other mayors hired their law partners, they hired the people they knew from school and they came up with, and they came up through the ranks. There was nothing to say about it, Adams said at an unrelated press conference in Queens, appearing to bristle after days of scrutiny over his staffing. Quote, but I have the audacity to hire blue-collar people, everyday folks who are union members, retired members. It's like, who you think you are putting these blue-collar workers, these everyday, hardworking people, you know? Who do you think you are? I didn't think you could do that. He said, well, I'm going to hire the best people that I feel are qualified for the job because I'm the mayor. And so, I mean, listen, my opinion, the new mayor is making it extremely easy to criticize him objectively because of his recent moves. After continuing with the vaccine mandates, he authorized stop and frisk and politicizing slayings of officers. His honor is on the right path of painting himself as an authoritarian figure to embrace the law and order vibe that our last president embodied. What do you think of this? What do you think of the vibe Eric Adams is sending out there, Carrie?
Well, okay, for you guys who are not in New York City, this Eric Adams is a just recently elected mayor. I don't even think the seat is warm. I think he just was elected, you know, came into office not even a month ago. Let me just say this. I understand the frustration. I understand both sides, being a media powerhouse company that we are here at Radio.
Right.
But I'll tell you, I think, you know, if you're listening right now, Mr. Mayor, let me just offer some media advice. And that is that the media is tricky. It is tricky. Because at first, and if you're not trained or understand how it all works, you might get offended. First, they're on your side. Here's the old thing that I remember, the adage. You know, they're happy when they're building you up, and they're happy when they're tearing you down. Now, when you can stay up in that, you know, ether for, you know, during the positivity or you know, they leave you alone once they see that you know how to handle the media. The media is not your best friend. The media is not your enemy. the media is what you make of it. And so for this, now, to what you're saying about the point, which is really, to me, this is big to me because it tells me about your finesse and the way that you do things. Yes, of course, you can hire controversial folks, and but what, get you, you just got an office with one toe in the door. My God.
I am the law.
Yeah, don't come in like a hammer. You know, yeah, big old hammer to swat a gnat. You know, just take a moment or two, learn the ropes. I'll tell you, I remember even for myself, I was a new supervisor at the airport. This was years back. You know, in between my working and doing my radio stuff, I worked for the airlines and all these other things. They hired me in as a boss, even though I applied not for that, but they brought me in as a boss, which was great. I knew nothing about their system. Of course, I have experience, had experience, but I had no idea. There was a new team. I had a totally new staff under me. The staff had already been working together for I don't know how long. They knew all the stuff, how to work on a computer. I didn't know how to work their computers, nothing. Got in from training, of course, and I was fresh and green or whatever they call it. What I did was I sat back and I said, I need these smart, I had lead agents and people under me who knew what they were doing, who really should have been the supervisors. But I had to be smart. You sit back, you watch, you learn. I said, you know what, I took the reps who were leads, you know, the big people who knew what they were doing, who were under me, and I said, do what you need to do. Here's my super sign-in, which, you know, authorized a lot of stuff. I said, do what you need to do, and I'll, you know, take a look and watch. I let them just think I was the biggest pushover, whatever they wanted to see, while I learned what they were doing. I was watching right over their shoulders, learned everything. Everything top to bottom. And then I slowly asserted myself and inserted my powers and my ability. You know, I didn't come in like a hammer. I'm the boss, and this is how I do. You should never have to say that you are in charge of something. If that's really what your first go-to is, that's a problem. And this tells me what we're in for. When I heard these things, I'm like, oh, my gosh, this really – and what that does, it creates folks that right here in New York City who may not be as supportive because they think that you have an inflated ego. You have to be able to take the heat. And if you cannot take the heat, Harlem, well, what should you do?
Get out of the kitchen.
Exactly. Get out of the kitchen because this is – politics is really scorching hot. I mean, it's not a little bit of it's hot as, you know, where. So this is how you're going to be. Well, if I may, and I don't like to talk too much about politics, so you guys forgive me on this, but I have to get this in. You know, the other day, our beautiful president, Mr. Biden, which I, you know, I'm a big supporter of everybody. Doesn't matter, Republican, Democrat, you know, as long as you're doing the right thing. But in this case where there was a hot mic, and we can all relate in radio, you guys out there, a hot mic is when the mic is on and you're not, it's still on. And whether, you know, you're likely not aware that it's still on and you make an utterance. And usually it's a 4 or 5 or 6 letter word and you come to regret it pretty quickly. And he let one slip back where the reporter had asked him a question. And he shot right, well, I don't think he shot right back. He just, you know, he you could hear it in his voice, in his face. He was disgusted. But they've made up and all that kind of stuff. So anyway, did you see that, Harlem Will?
Yeah, oh, I saw it. The reporter, in my opinion, the reporter had it coming because you asked him a question about inflation and if you think it's helping. it was a condescending, backhanded question. So if you ask a question like that, you're looking for a response like that, you know.
Yeah,
so, but
okay.
He handled it in a classy way. But off the like the hot mic, you know, picked up. You heard how he really felt.
Yeah, I don't think that was really a hot mic moment. That was a moment, all right. I was left the word Mike out of there.
He gave a bit of sarcasm on it, but then, you know, he also said, yeah, come on, what's with this guy? You know, it was like, yeah, I know. I know.
Stuff, Harlem Will, for Friday morning.
All right, Friday morning. All right, so second story we have. So Jimmy Fallon, the late night host, he is in some hot water for his interview with Paris Hilton a couple of nights ago, where the two rich celebrities discussed their love for their personal NFTs. These are non-fungible tokens, guys. Don't worry, I'm going to try to explain it, but I'm not going to go into too much detail on how they are, because I'm going to give my opinion on it. And in an article in the New York Times, the article in the New York Times, it's reported that Digital Sleuths had deduced Fallon probably purchased the primate pick last November for about $216,000, or rather purchased a record on a digital blockchain ledger saying he owns it. That's how complicated NFTs are, guys. Hyping it up on his show may well boost its asking price even higher if he ever tries to sell it, which is where things get tricky. A workplace policy set out by Comcast, the parent company of the Tonight Show Network, NBC, asks employees to, quote, not let outside interests or activities interfere with their business judgment or responsibilities to the company. Quote, another policy within NBC Universal mandates that all employees, quote, disclose and obtain approval for all outside work, financial interests, and other personal activities, relationships that may create or appear to create a conflict, end quote. The same policy says that employees should not use, quote, use company info, resources, time, etc. for personal benefit, end quote. If Fallon's use of Showtime to flex his ape were to boost its resale value, it would seemingly be a case of using company resources for personal benefit. This dude, you went a step. Not only was the interview cringe because people just sat there and, you know, wasn't sure what was going on, but a lot of people don't understand what NFTs are, and I did try to understand it, and it became more confusing. Once I see something that's extremely confusing and complex and it involves money, red flags go up, and I start steering clear completely and go in the opposite direction. I mean, and then with this whole NFT thing, especially him doing this on the show, all right, Carrie, you got a background in finances. Tell me, is the LA Times wrong for thinking that something seemed a little weird about him having his and Paris Hilton's product here and just close numbers, things like it?
Harlem Will, first of all, very good reporting on this. For me, listen, when I tell you I come out of finance. I worked in finance for almost 10 years. And my background, and you can see it all over the internet, I've done stock splits for companies like Sony. I used to manage the Microsoft account and Dell computer and all that kind of stuff. My information is on LinkedIn if you ever wish to see it on that background. And so I'm very familiar with these things. And there's so much oversight when it comes to financial things. There are all kinds of rules and guidelines. They used to even have a rule that if you tried to, start an official account to save money and pull like 8 or 9 people, that was all that you were entitled to do to formulate that type of financial business when it comes to pooling your monies and resources together. There are all kinds of oversight, all kinds of rules, and so much stuff that's out there. This was reminiscent to me, of the Martha Stewart. That's what it reminded me of. Now, I'm not accusing him, and I don't know all the details. I'm merely offering my opinion. You guys are entitled to research further and make up your own mind. But my thing, to me, this jumped out. I said, wow, you cannot do that. You just cannot. You need to keep your – my information is – I'm on file at for the financial, the people who oversee here in America. That's, you know, where, the, you know, the people who oversee all of the financial transactions in the country. I'm on file there already. So I'm telling you, this is not something that you want to do. You don't want to give out, you know, advice. You don't even want to, you know, give hints or tips. You better keep that because you could end up in some serious hot water that lands you in the slammer. And they do not joke about that because, see, you cannot, you know, we have platforms, Harlem. Well, you have a platform. You have a platform. We have a platform here. I cannot tell people the, you know, the benefits of, you know, investing in XYZ stock.
Right.
I cannot.
Especially if you press.
And I can't do stuff like that. I can't go invest in it myself and then come back on air and brag about it or talk about it. Those are not things that you can do. And so especially somebody who's on a popular late night show. So I, you know, so of course this flies in the face of the company's guidelines. This flies in the face of everybody's guidelines. I'm shocked that this even happened, to be honest. And I didn't hear about this story. So this one flew under my radar. And I'm surprised. That's really kind of surprising. Now, you know what Harlem was telling me, that we're going to have to delve into this. This is a lot. This is a big new world. There's a whole lot that is tied to this new currency and all these things. What do we need to know about them in our community? And so we're going to put together a special report on what we need to know and how it affects you and your pocketbook, if at all. So these are things that we're going to delve into. So you're going to have to keep it right here on the Hair Radio Morning Show. I'm loving these stories. I think this offers a great opportunity for us to have some discussions that I really want to know about. Don't just feed me some crap on the TV that don't mean anything to me whatsoever. Mm-hmm. I want to hear some stuff about my neighbors, my family, and the people that I, you know, that look like me. I want to hear from them sometimes on what their perspectives are. So that's what the Hair Radio Morning Show is all about. We welcome everybody. We love everybody. But we want to hear some things that matter to us. And that's what the Harlem World Report brings to us each morning. So good job.
Absolutely. And our final story. Now, speaking of something that hits close to home, there's the New York City NYC safe injection site saved 114 lives in 2 months. This is being reported in The Guardian. Now, of course, being from Harlem, we have this, one of the notorious locations in Harlem is an area on 125th Street in Lexington. And it has been given the nickname, unfortunately, The Walking Dead, because of a lot of people who are pretty much hooked on a lot of substances, and they pretty much have a bit of a zombie look to them. However, NYC recently made an effort to make safe injection sites. As controversial as it is, it's showing to have some good results leaning from it. Oh, and excuse me, I know I said The Guardian, I meant Politico. So in the Politico article, cities supervise injection sites reverse over 100 doses as being reported in Politico's Aaron Durkin. The New York City's two supervised drug injection sites have reversed more than 100 overdoses since they opened their doors less than 2 months ago. The nation's first officially authorized injection sites began operating at the end of November, one in East Harlem and one in Washington Heights. They allow clients to openly use drugs under the supervision of trained staff, hoping to combat an overdose crisis that killed more than 2,000 people in the city in 2020. Wow. They have reversed 114 overdoses, according to data from the program first reviewed by Politico. Quote, the need is greater than anyone even unexpected, said, end quote, said Sam Rivera, executive director of On Point NYC, which runs the facilities. The city health department initially estimated that injection sites, also known as overdose prevention centers, could save up to 130 lives a year. Now, looking at this, I think as controversial as it is, based on these estimates, that's going to more than double the amount of lives that they save with these injection sites, because they're being ran by people who know what they're doing, similar to what athletes, professional athletes, when, if you've ever heard of a lot of professional athletes, particularly in baseball and in the NFL, they would use PEDs, but the performance-enhancing drugs. But because these professionals that they're around, trainers and whatnot, they were experts on how to administer the dosages of these performance-enhancing drugs so that the athletes wouldn't have some kind of immediate crash or, you know, any kind of side effects that would hurt them long-term. And with the, I see where the city is trying to go with in this direction with the overdoses, because, I mean, if this helps stay people away from me being overdosed, and I mean, you know, sleeping in the streets, some unfortunately being their demise in the streets, but now they're actually becoming functional people who can actually function in life. I think this is the next step for people being accepted back into society. And I mean, it begins to help the quality of life, especially with how it is affecting a lot of the black and brown communities in Harlem. As controversial as it is, I would much, much rather people have their lives saved in injection sites than try to do it themselves, indulging, especially if you're not going to stop them, if the laws aren't stopping them, and they indulge themselves and end up in worse cases. So, but what I understand, it's a controversial topic, but again, it has great results so far. It's yielding great results with lives being saved. But, like, what's your take on it, Carrie? With the injection site?
Well, I don't know that much about them. I've seen the news here in New York City. It does sound like it's something that is very controversial. So I'm going to kind of take a closer look at this kind of thing. And so thank you guys. On this, it's very interesting to me. I'm not quite sure this is the format for it today, but you guys will probably try to delve into it to some degree. That we bring up here on the air, we will do some further research and we'll kind of move it over to our streaming network for you guys so we can explore it a little bit further. But not sure, Harlem Will. These things, you know, like we talked about a little bit of addiction this morning on the broadcast. These are things that are kind of different and foreign to many of our listeners and things that we haven't come in contact with, but a whole lot of folks have. And, it's just a convoluted myriad of reasons and things like that. So we're going to have some of these heavier topics that we will review, and we'll revisit them on the show. So listen, anything else you've got for us, Harlem Will?
And that is the Harlem Will Report. Swing it right back to your host, Kerry Hines.
Very well. Thank you, sir. All right. Listen, we're going to shift gears and all of that wonderful good stuff. I'm going to put on a music break. We'll be back. We've got some happy talk coming up in just a bit. We're going to have you guys to stay with us right here on the all-new Hair Radio Morning Show. I think I'm going to have to really kind of we're going to have to bring it back. Here's Keep On Jumping, okay? Doesn't get any better than Martha Wash. Stay with us. We'll be right back.
As women, it seems like we carry the weight of the world on our shoulders, and that weight is directly balanced between your 2 feet. And with this balancing act, who do you think is suffering? It's not the kids. It's your feet. While running errands, paying bills, or dodging traffic, you could be ruining your feet. Wearing the wrong shoes for the wrong period of time can cause more damage than you think. Hammer toe and bunions are the leading deformities in black women, and Dr. Yolanda Raglan is the first black and only female podiatrist with practices dedicated solely to the correction of these type of deformities. So let this black girl do some magic and fix your feet. For more information, visit fixyourfeet.com, providing medically necessary surgery with a cosmetic result.
But radio commercials as much as they do television commercials?
Maybe more so.
How do you figure that?
Well, in television, your tube goes minutes just before the commercial comes on.
Yeah?
That serves as a warning device to millions of people that they have a split second to get out of the room.
I never thought of that.
In radio, an advertiser can just sort of sneak up on you without any warning.
Uh-huh.
I mean, you haven't noticed your car radio suddenly fading to black before the commercial, I mean.
And not recently, no. But can't you still walk out when the radio commercial comes on?
Not at 60 miles an hour.
Okay, but do you think you can really make me pay attention to a radio commercial?
I just did.
Hi, everybody. This is Queen Tree, and I'm shouting out the Hair Radio Show with Terry Hunt.
Crystal Jones Vaughn of Assuage Hair and Body, and I love the Hair Radio Show.
Hello, everybody. I'm Valerie from Validate Your Beauty. I am giving a shout-out to the Hair Radio Morning Show, Kerry Hines.
You're listening to the Hair Radio Morning Show. I'm Kerry Hines. Now, with me, I have a very, very special guest. We're talking about industry superstar and legend, an absolute legend in the hair and beauty industry. The one and only Mr. Bernard Bronner. Welcome to the Hair Radio Morning Show. It's your first time joining us.
And it's such a pleasure to join you.
Thank you. So now hold it. Let's jump on in. And I have to tell everybody, you guys are hearing some of the wonderful background sounds here in New York City because we are actually out and about. Just had a wonderful opportunity to sit in one of our favorite new places here in Manhattan. So, Bernard, though, I want to talk about Bronner Brothers. Let's just kind of bring everybody up to speed. Now, you guys, of course, we're looking ahead to what's next for Bronner Brothers. Can you speak to that a little bit?
Yes. This is year 75 for us, and we do several things as a company. The number one is we make products. We make the BB family of products, which is Tropical Roots, African Royale, and just BB products. Then we do the world's largest multicultural hair show every 6 months. And I also, on the side, do Upscale Magazine, which is one of the few magazines. It's only Upscale and Essence now that are on nationwide newsstands. So Upscale is 31 years old now, and due to COVID, we had to little postponing of issues, but we are now back on the newsstands all over the country, and we look for a great year for 2022.
Wonderful. Now, talking about the amazing Upscale Magazine, as you just so clearly pointed out, what's one of the biggest things that you want the message to be about Upscale and reaching out to the community?
Well, I'm second generation Bronner Brothers, and the first generation, my daddy always felt like, he always used to say that a community is no better than the people in it. So he did all kinds of things to help develop the people in the community. And as a second generation leader, I've taken that even further, and I love helping the community. One of my pet things is creating jobs. I've always felt like that is the worst thing can happen, a person lose their job. I've always said that once you lose your job, you next will lose your house. Then they'll come take the car. Then the family will leave you, the kids will leave you, and if you can't even afford to feed the dog walks away. So you don't want to have to be in a situation when you have no financial income coming in. So I have always loved providing jobs and helping people become entrepreneurs and finding that they can just, I mean, it's just a joy in helping people. So that's one of the missions that I have now is, like I say, I want to be known as a person who understands what our community needs and gives it to them. And like I say, my number one thing is providing jobs.
Wow. That means so much right now. I mean, you know, we're coming out of this period, let me just put it that way. We're forging ahead with amazing new opportunities. I see so much on the horizon for Bronner Brothers, for Bernard Bronner, and all that you're doing. And I'm just very excited. And I'm going to announce this. I'm going to just go ahead and put this out. We are launching Upscale Magazine Radio. And you heard it right here, folks. What can you tell us, Bernard? What do you think this is going to be about?
I think it's wonderful. So we're going to be working together and launching for 2022 Upscale Radio. And it will have a lot of hair radio interviews
yeah.
and a lot of hair radio, hair celebrities.
Exactly.
And it's going to be just awesome for 2022.
Awesome. Can't be any better than that. Now, I just want to say this, Bernard, and I appreciate you taking time. We never have a whole bunch of his time because you're a very, very busy man, and I so appreciate this in-person meeting, which we do so rarely here on the Hair Radio Morning Show. But what can you leave us with today? What words, like you inspired me as you know, I said this off air, I said it on air. Bronner Brothers certainly has led the way. None of us really would be here. You know, you guys are a big part of the whole entire black hair industry. But what kind of advice or inspirational words you can leave us with today on the Hair Radio Morning Show?
Well, the biggest thing is, we have all survived 2020, which means we are now tough and we can survive any and everything. So now that we've got all of the experience and have lived through a pandemic, we're tough. And I know Bronner Brothers and Bernard Bronner, we are going to show out for 2022 because we ready now.
All right.
Yes.
On that note, I want to thank you so much for being with us, and we look forward to all that you guys are going to be bringing to the table, as always. The one and only Bernard Bronner from Bronner Brothers. Who in the world doesn't know Bronner Brothers? Thanks so much, Bernard, for being with us.
You're welcome.
All right, folks, keep it right here. We've got a whole lot more of the Hair Radio Morning Show to go. Stay with us.
It's time to rise and shine with the Hair Radio Morning Show with Gary Hines.
All right, folks, we are back live. Yes, it's Friday, January 28th of 2022. I'm Carrie Hines. It is a great pleasure to have you guys with us. Just taking a moment to kind of look and see some of our reports and things that we have coming up in the next week. And wanted to tell you, so a couple of program notes, and then we'll get back to some hair talk right here on the broadcast. But first, I want to bring to the line, let me just bring on a great partner. You guys know Michael. He has been with us quite a few times to promote his own program called the Vet Talk Radio Show, which stands for veterans, by the way. I don't want to give people the wrong idea of that. Let me bring to the line the one and only, I call him the Hopper, Michael Hopkins, the host of VTR Vet Talk Radio Show, which airs on Tuesday mornings here at 8:30. Good morning, Michael Hopkins. Good morning.
Good morning. Good morning, Carrie Hines. I am telling you good morning from beautiful Spotsylvania. A little cloudy down here. We're expecting some snow. But I just thought I would touch bases with you this morning. You're having such a fantastic show this morning.
Well, it's very spirited. Let me say that. Folks,
yeah,
I just want to. I take it you've been listening to the show this morning, Michael Hopkins?
Yes, I have.
awesome. Thank you so much for that.
Yep,
and
sure
just reminding
am.
Folks, yeah, yeah, some of, let me, you know, we, I have to tell folks, you know, we do a variety of topics here on the Hair Radio Morning Show. It's a lifestyle program. It's not just on hair and beauty, so you have some idea what's happening. Let me say, speaking of program notes, Michael, I want you to take a moment to tell everybody about your show across our wonderful network, Vet Talk Radio Show. So what can you tell us about the Vet Talk Radio Show?
Oh, great. Fantastic. Well, Vet Talk Radio Show is, it's all about the veterans. There are a lot of veterans like myself out here who not only have physical wounds, we also have mental wounds. And what our show does, it gives the veterans some hope. It also gives their families some hope that a lot of the things that have happened to veterans in the past, present, and perhaps in the future, we can help them cope with. We can help them deal with. A lot of veterans are really, they have a compensation that they are entitled to. And that's what we're all about here on our show. We're about explaining to them and their families and even the fans out here who may not know. They may not. They may have a family member who's a veteran, and maybe they don't understand, you know, about that veteran, how they feel. Or are they entitled to anything? So that's what we're all about. We're about helping them understand the entitlements that they have as veterans once they've served this great country of ours.
Well, let me say, you're doing a fantastic job. The show started right here on our network at Hair Radio and has been airing consistently. You guys are pushing like your 25th episode, and this is amazing. That's very soon, and we're going to put together something very special here at the network for you guys. Also, speaking of the Vet Talk Radio Show, again, Tuesday mornings at 8:30, which is live. It's done here on our show live. So, you know, I like to say Hair Radio goes off about 8:30, and then here's Vet Talk Radio Show. And you, as I mentioned, you have been doing a good job, but you also have some producers who help you, some amazing, we call Michael's Angels, and that's Katrina, Nora, Nicole. These ladies come on every week. Sometimes we're able to get them on a little bit talking about different things that that you guys are working on from time to time. So it's kind of, it's a nice feeling, I think. So, Michael, what would you like to say on the Angels? Because you guys put together the topics. How does that work for the listeners who are tuned in right now who have never heard of Vet Talk Radio Show or how it comes together? How does it come together? How do you guys decide on what you're going to talk about on the Vet Talk Radio Show?
Well, a lot of times what we do, Carrie, we look into our hearts. And by myself being a disabled veteran, I look in my heart, I introduce my staff, my angels, my producers, to things that I know that most veterans want to talk about, but sometimes they're afraid to talk about. Sometimes they want to know certain things about the whole veterans process, the whole claims process. And that's what we do. We sit and we have a staff meeting and we kind of put things around to each other. We put ourselves in the shoes of an average veteran. And that's how we approach Vet Talk.
I see. And you have great meetings, I heard, with a great super executive producer. No, I'm just kidding. Just
yes,
a joke, folks.
We do when he
Listen.
Is. He's a great.
No. I was just kidding. They're talking about me, folks. I'm just kidding. Listen, I wanted to also we'll get some of the angels on to kind of back up what you say. We're going to ask them for the real skinny, you know, the stories behind the success of the show. But first, I just want to kind of break it on down why this kind of broadcast is important to what we're doing. And how does it connect to the Hair Radio Morning Show and all of that? Well, I have to say, since getting, you know, doing the way that you just described it, Michael, where the veterans may be reluctant to get the help they need sometimes, you know, so your show provides that safe space that gives the information. No one has to know that you don't know something, if you will. So I love that because that's how I started the Hair Radio Show back in 1995. I started the show with, we only gave hair tips. Can you believe that? We only gave
wow.
hair tips. That was the whole show. I'll have to play one of our classic episodes for you. But back, I have some like over 20-year-old episodes. And the thing is, what used to crack me up is that when I started the show, we were geared towards only providing the information for the clients, for the consumers, the people in the chair. Which was great. That's what I wanted. We still do a great deal of that, and we're going to have some programming that's clearly focused on that again. That's coming up, and we'll talk about that soon. But what used to amaze me is that the professionals, the hairstylists, the product companies soon took our show over. They hijacked the show, and because they wanted more of the professional talk as well. So we strike a balance these days. But back then, the professionals, and this is my take on it, and we love the hair people and the stylists and all those folks, but Michael, you know what really happened? The hairstylists, I believe, in my opinion, they were able to listen to a lot of what other professionals in the industry were doing, giving out professional information as well through our broadcast. So it, no one had to know that you did not know, you know about, you know, moisturizing shampoo or, you know, or any of that kind of stuff. This provided a safe space for you to get the information, get the knowledge, and tune in. And it's done, I think, in a friendly way. And that's what you guys on Vet Talk Radio Show do. That's what we strive to do here on our broadcast at the Hair Radio Morning Show. And so I think, you know, I'm trying to create a program that each morning uplifts the folks. And so, and you guys are part of that wheel, if you will, on Tuesdays. Now, I think we have Nur Jahan, one of your producers, one of we call again Michael's Angels. Michael, I'm going to see if we can get Nur Jahan on the line. Nur Jahan is one of Michael's producers out of Clarksville, Tennessee. So we're on a trip this morning to the South. Good morning, Nur Jahan. Are you there?
Good morning. Yes, I am. Can you hear me okay?
Hello, Miss Nur. Nur is, we have the angels. And again, Nicole, Katrina, and Nur Jahan, these are Michael's angels who help him produce the show. So how are you down in Clarksville, Tennessee? Is it cold enough for you down there? Well, you guys have a little bit, it's milder for you down there, right? It's not that cold?
Well, no, it's cold. It's in the 30s.
It's in the, that's really? Cold. Wow.
Mm-hmm.
That is
wow.
cold.
It's in the
30s.
So no
like
snow.
I told you,
yeah.
I'll send you some snow. I'll gladly send you guys some snow.
We're good. As soon as we hear snow, they cancel school. We're good on snow.
I'll send
well,
it to
I
you.
Tell you.
Not a problem.
I'm loving having this. That's what the radio show was all about, the Hair Radio Morning Show, getting folks together. We speak to folks all over the country. So I have to say, Nur Jahan, did you catch what Michael was saying about the Vet Talk Radio Show? What can you tell us, being one of Michael's angels, about the Vet Talk Radio Show from your perspective?
Oh, yes. It's awesome because, like he said, we're sharing information that a lot of vets don't know about, and they're being open to this information now on this platform. Not only are they vets, but it's families of vets. You know, I'm a family of a vet. I got, you know, my son, you know, my dad, my sister, my cousins. You know, we have our whole family is pretty much military, and they have suffered from a lot of these issues that Michael talks about on the show. So it's just very powerful information that they didn't know where to get it from. And now all they got to do is call in a Vet Talk Radio Show, and the sky is the limit. And certain things that we think about, hey, you know what, maybe we should talk about this next time. So when we come together, we figure out what is our next topic, and that's how we do
Absolutely.
It.
Absolutely. Well, it sounds great to me. And I tell you, Tuesday mornings, we usually shift gears right at 8:30 in the morning, New York time. If you're in the Central Time Zone, that's at 7:30 in the morning on Tuesdays. It's the Vet Talk Radio Show with Michael Hopkins and Michael's Angels panel, Nicole Nurjahan, that you're listening to right now, and Katrina. So we're going to talk about the angels because we've not really disclosed this so much to our fan base out there. But I wanted to let folks know that Michael's Angels, the three amazing producers, are going to have a special segment coming up very soon. We're going to keep you guys informed, where you guys are going to be able to share a little bit more of your personalities and talk about some of the things that are important to you, maybe some veteran talk, it may be some other topics that you'll get into. But I'm super proud of each of you, and I just wanted to make it official this morning on our broadcast to let folks know this is what they can expect very soon.
Thank you for that.
You got it. So, Michael Hopkins, what do you say when you look and you hear this? It was born out of the whole idea and concept of doing a show that would help veterans and their claims issues in particular. So what do you say when you see the success, the results of the germ of the idea that you brought to us at our network?
Well, what I really look at it, Carrie, it is such a blessing. And myself, I feel as though it's an honor for me, it's a duty for me to help as many veterans, their families. It's just an honor. It's a duty. It's a calling. That's the way I look at it for myself. It's a calling that I have. And there's nothing that brings me more joy than to help a veteran. There are lots of veterans that I help, and I didn't realize I had this inside of me until I started doing my claims process myself, going out for compensation. And I started seeing the disparity of people filing for claims, and they get turned down, they don't know what to do, or they get advice, and sometimes it's the wrong advice. And
wow.
And a lot of people, they get frustrated, they say, well, the heck with it, I guess it wasn't meant to be. And sometimes I would just do something very simple. I would say something very simple to them that I experienced as a veteran through paperwork, through calling, through research. And then all of a sudden, they got turned around. They won a claim. And just to hear that joy when I get a call, you know, Carrie, it's nothing like you get a call at 7:30, 8 o'clock on a Saturday morning, and a person says to you, I'm no longer rated at 40%. I'm now at 70%. And the person on the other end of the phone is crying. And the reason why they're crying, Carrie Hines, is because they've been at 40% as a rated veteran, as getting compensated for the last 10 or 20 years. They've been rated that way.
So your help, your guidance, the Vet Talk Radio Show is making a difference in these folks' lives, apparently.
Right. It is making a difference. A lot of times when we're on the show and we have a topic that's really a hot button topic, and like you said, Carrie Hines, there are people out there, maybe they're a little afraid to ask that question, or they're embarrassed, or they think it's just them. But it's not just them. There are other veterans just like them. And we've had people after the show contact us and say, hey, wow, that was a beautiful show, or I didn't know that. That's going on with me right now as a veteran. I didn't know that's what I needed to know. Because no one told me over the last 10 years. That's all I needed to know. And we thank you.
Well, I have to say, and I want to work Nurjahan back into this.
No, when you hear of these things, and you guys really put the work in, you and as well as Katrina and Nicole, and you hear Michael going through this, and you see the response from your fans, and I see it here because they're all, you have a huge fan base that are very ravenous about getting information and listening to the broadcast each week. And soon you're going to be kind of spinning off in your own broadcast type stuff coming up real soon.
Right.
And we're going to keep you guys informed of that. But what about the family aspect and being able to talk to, you know, work on this with your colleagues, the other wonderful angels, Michael's angels, who help with this kind of thing? Do you see it making a difference for families all over the country?
Absolutely. Just like Michael said, you know, when people call them and they talk about how they were at a certain rating and now their rating is higher, you know, just because of the show, not just because of the show, but also because of the information that he was able to provide them. I mean, we had one that didn't even realize that, you know, after 22 years, she was actually a, you know, an honorable veteran that was discharged. And
oh,
now she's going to be able to get some help.
Yes.
That is terrible.
Yes.
She didn't even know, you know, that nobody told her. They weren't going to tell
her.
Right. Could you imagine never knowing that?
That
so
is
that,
unreal.
Yes, this is very, yes, it is. And that's why Michael, he calls us his angels, but he's actually the angel, truthfully.
Oh, now, where's my team? Okay, folks. Well, listen, I just want to officially say thank you, and I hope you guys hang out with me for a little bit. I have a couple of program notes I want to talk about. We've got a big update and big news that I'm gonna just let loose in just a moment. So we don't want you going anywhere. I've got some big shout outs and some big names and some big updates to unleash. Right now, I want to kind of take, you know, get folks up a little bit. It is Friday morning. It's Friday, folks. Let's kind of, I want to play some classic stuff. I'm sorry for, you know, the youngins, but I gotta get this on. I absolutely love some of these classic songs. So stay with us. We've got, this song is only about 2.5 minutes, so it's very short. And I'll be right back with more of the Hair Radio Morning Show. Nur Jahan from Clarksville, Tennessee. Thank you so much for your perspective this morning. And, of course, one and only from you. Thank you. And from Spotsylvania, VA, we're talking about the one and only Michael Hopkins, the host of the Vet Talk Radio Show. We'll see you back here, Michael, you guys, on Tuesday for the next Vet Talk episode, 8:30 in the morning, Eastern Time, 7:30 Central. Thanks again, Michael. You guys, Michael, Nora, have a great weekend. All right.
All right.
We've got a lot.
Thank
you. Awesome. All right, more of the Hair Radio Morning Show to go. So right now, like I said, short song. We'll be back. Stay with us.
I know it's late. Mm-hmm.
To the Hair Radio Morning Show. I'm Carrie Hines. Now, I have a very, very special guest with us today. Now, he's a part of this pretty much the biggest story in America. It is my honor to bring to the Hair Radio Morning Show the one and only, we're going to say, Dr. Obeng, Dr. Michael Obeng. Thank you so much and welcome to the broadcast. I was getting ready to work in Miracle Doctor. That was my day there. So good morning to you, and we're just so honored to have you on the show.
Thank you very much, Kerry. It's an honor and a privilege to be on the show this morning.
My
experience with your audience.
Wonderful. Well, I have to jump right on in. And we're talking about the amazing work that you have done with Miss Tessica Brown. Now, it has been reported everywhere and across the internet. We're talking about huge in terms of the notoriety that's been, you know, reached about the, you know, about the story. In terms of Tessica, somehow with the gorilla glue that you know, she placed in her hair, and everybody knows the story. But what we don't know, and what you might be able to tell us, is like a, you know, what prompted her beyond what we've seen in the reported, you know, gossip and this and that. What can you tell us that might shed some light on how this, because you would have had to I imagine delve into that a little bit so you know how best to treat it. So what can you share with us today, Dr. Obeng?
Thank you very much, Kerry.
You're welcome.
Kristen. What happened with Tessica was very unfortunate. You know, it's one of those honest mistakes, you know, that somebody ran into something they thought they can use an alternative on a temporary basis. And it will turn into a month ordeal and a worldwide fanfare. And, of course, you know, these accidents happen all the time. And it's not just with hair or hairspray. You know, it happens all the time when people are, you know, washing their mouth with the wrong mouthwash and so on and so forth. And I think the world should give Tessica a break. You know, women go through a lot with their hair, especially black women. And, you know, to get a bottle of a gorilla spray, glue spray to spray to her head thinking that she can wash it off, you know, in a few hours, you know, that has turned into a national story, you know, a worldwide fanfare. It's something of it's a cautionary tale for all of us, and that's what I can say to that.
Well, I have to kind of add to that. I looked at everything when I started researching this, and I kind of looked at both the product that I believe she typically used and ran out of versus the product that she used. And honestly, there was, in my opinion, this is Carrie Hines, there was like a similar kind of description from me, from my words. So to me, you know, I can understand how somebody might do something like that, especially in a sense of, you know, when you're desperate and want your hair to look a certain way. You know, these are the, you know, how a lot of folks have been kind of pushed to that limit in terms of that. That's the bigger, broader story now seems to be hitting out there. But I want to kind of take a moment to
kind of turn to your the questions that folks have asked me to ask you about the process and so forth. So can you walk us through what, because you created this concoction, if you, I hate the word concoction, but you created, you know, you did some research and came up with, you know, what to use to kind of alleviate the situation, to remedy this, you know, the situation. So how, can you tell us a little bit about that?
You know, so when the story first broke and we got wind of it and my office asked me if I can help it, and of course I said I can, you know, of course I didn't know it was a national sensation or something that had taken the whole world by storm. You know, I just said in confidence and in gratuity that, you know, pretty much anything I can think of, I can do it through the Lord who has strengthened, you know, who strengthens me. But when I found out was Gorilla Glue and it became a reality, after I said, yes, I can do it, and within 2-3 hours later, you know, I was getting confirmatory message that, okay, she's going to be here 2 days later, which was on Wednesday, last Wednesday.
Wow.
You know, I said, sure. So, of course, you know, I'm not in the field that uses Gorilla Glue all the time. I've heard of Gorilla Glue or Crazy Glue, but I don't know what was in it. But you know, once I heard about it, I knew I was going to do it. You know, with any good, what do you call it? You know, any good visionary or great visionary, you want to go look into and do research into what you're about to do. And if you are not used to it, you know, you have to delve into the problem much deeper. You know, of course, I had to Google Gorilla Glue, and I had to Google the main ingredient, which happens to be polyurethane, which is a very very, very strong adhesive that, you know, goes back, you know, that was born into America, I think, in the early 1990s from the Southeast Asia, where it was being used for furniture manufacture. Then I decided, okay, what can then dissolve polyurethane? You know, what are some of the solvents available? And having a chemistry background, you know, helped. So I was able to find out the different things that can break it down. But now, we are not talking about just breaking something down on the surface, but this is on a human skin or human scalp. And of course, being a doctor also tells me that if you put caustic solutions or caustic substances on the body, on the scalp, it can potentially burn it. So now we have to find a fine balance between something that was gentle to the skin or the scalp and something that was effective enough to dissolve this powerful glue. And after the research that I did in the last 2 days, on Monday night, Tuesday night, and also making a call to Gorilla Glue and my old chemistry professor just to pick his idea, his brain.
Wow.
And made me come up with something. Of course, Gorilla Glue never reached back to me. They texted me that they tried to reach me. But by the time they texted me, I think Wednesday morning, I had already figured it out. And I have done experiments on the mannequin, on the skull that I have, you know, one of those surgical skulls that I used to use when I used to teach residents how to put plates and screws in people's faces, and that sat in front, you know, that sits in my office. So, you know, we're fortunate enough to get hair donated by the Southern Temple here in Beverly Hills. Southern Temple. They gave me human hair. Veronica gave me human hair. We put the hair onto the skull. And then, you know, with the Gorilla Glue. So my staff, Oscar Garcia, my assistant, went to Home Depot to buy me Gorilla Glue and buy me all the things that I needed, you know. And we were able to spray, and I still have it here in my office, and it's stuck to the skull. You know, I spin around holding the hair. So what we first did was to glue the human hair donated by Southern Temple to the skull, and then we glue hair extensions on top of the human hair. And then we let it sit for about 6 hours, and then the solution that I've tried on myself initially burned. We did what's called test spots, so it burned a little burn, which is fine. If you use a little Q-tip and it burns, that means it's going to burn the scalp. So after we find the right solution that was gentle to my skin, I knew it was going to be gentle to scalp. And we used it on the mannequin or on the skull, the demo I had created. and the hair starts to unravel. So, but you know, back then and then, I knew that we had a product that can dissolve human, you know, that can dissolve Gorilla Glue. And when Tessica arrived on Wednesday morning, I was very confident, without a doubt, that it was going to be successful. And by the grace of God, everything went well, and you know, she's back in Louisiana doing well.
Absolutely, and we are so proud to hear of that. We really are. One of the questions that came in from one of my followers and fans of the show, they wanted to know if the treatment that you provided, like, you know, did it have any effect on her, the hair follicles, you know, on her hair follicles? Because, you know, it's so, you know, you have to be so careful, like you said, it's, you know, in terms of preventing like long-term damage or anything like that. Is there anything that you could tell us about, you know, because she seems to be really happy. I think I caught some videos where she was running her fingers through her hair and all of that. So did the glue go all the way down inside the follicles? Anything that you could tell us on that part?
So you know, initially, of course, things can penetrate to hair follicles whenever you put stuff on your scalp or your skin. So with that, I can tell you that the glue initially would have gotten to the follicles. Of course, it would temporarily burn because of the fact that it's caustic in nature. It would temporarily burn. I mean, it would burn a little bit, but and it might have some temporary effect on the hair follicles. But I think all in all, she's going to recover. And then the solution solution that we used was very gentle. Gentle enough that it's not going to hurt her follicles. It hasn't hurt my hair follicles, so hopefully it shouldn't hurt her hair follicles. Yeah,
well, now, what about... Yes, I'm sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt you. I was just going to ask you, what about subsequent follow-ups? Is this going to be something that you're going to have to work with her ongoing, or is she just going to be able to just resume, you know, her life as it was before this happened?
Yeah, she should be back to normal life, you know. But I told her to be very gentle with her hair and her scalp, you know, just to, in simplicity terms, just to treat it like a newborn baby. You know, you don't want to put harsh chemicals. Everything that she uses should be very gentle in nature. And I recommend using baby shampoo, baby conditioner, just things that has nothing that is harmful to, or that can also cause that can also compromise an already compromised scalp.
Absolutely. Now, Dr. Obeng, I do want to take a moment because I understand that there is a charitable organization that you are associated with or helped establish that I just love, you know, what I read about this and helping the folks over in Ghana. And we have so many listeners who tune in from Ghana to the show. They're big fans.
Wow.
So... Yeah, so I'm not, and I know them, a lot of them by name, so that's not just me saying anything.
So
I'm so proud.
Thank you for getting my Ghanaian people involved, you know, and shout out to them, you know. It took a village to get me to America, and at the tender age of 20, when I left home to come to college here, you know, of course, you know, 28 years, almost 30 years later, the Lord has blessed me so much that, you know, we decided, you know, growing up in Ghana, I saw a lot of diseases and illnesses, you know, and deformities that were attributed to witchcraft, you know, people at the time. And some of the belief is still there, you know, in the remote areas, you know, of people still think that children with deformities are cursed. And, you know, the little gods, you know, witches, you know, they are cursed and their families are cursed. That's why they come out like that. They don't understand that we have the same issues here in the Western world, in America, that kids are born with cleft palate, and these are normal kids. It's just that, you know, during the developmental stage, developmental process, things did not go according to plan. You know, things, there were not little mishaps, and that's why these kids have deformities. And these kids can be treated, and they can have normal life, you know. The field of plastic surgery became known to me at the tender age, I believe, around 13 to 15, when I witnessed firsthand the works of Operation Smile when they came to Ghana and did surgery on a neighbor. The beautiful young lady I grew up with, her brother, her face had been burned with sulfuric acid, which was very commonplace growing up in Ghana. kind of, you can go buy acid and they use it for your cars, you know, to add it to the battery. And this man put acid on the young lady's face because she didn't want to be in a relationship with him. And her face was burned and she became a recluse. She never really left her home. And, you know, I saw the firsthand what Operation Smile did. And, of course, you know, I didn't see Operation Smile during the surgery, but I asked my friend, wow, what happened to your sisters? Oh, there's a group of doctors from America came to Guyana, you know, came and they did surgery on her. And, you know, I saw the restoration of hope, you know, that this young lady has. So from that day, I wanted to be a plastic surgeon. So fast forward, in 1998, 99, one of my mentors, Dr. Miller, John Miller, when surgery, I was in training at the time. I think I was a third-year medical student. Dr. Miller was doing surgery. He's a plastic surgeon, a hand surgeon. And he looked at me and said, Michael, you are from Ghana, right? I said, yeah. I said, why don't we go to Ghana and do free surgery? Now, he's the one who put this in my head in 1998, 99. And, of course, I knew that, you know, the Lord has blessed me. And, you know, when the Lord, you know, to whom much is given, much is required.
That's
so
right.
So, 2006, when I was in Boston at Harvard doing my fellowship, that's when the name Restore came to my head. You know, Restore is the name of my nonprofit organization. And it stands for Restoring Emotional Stability through Outstanding Reconstructive Efforts. And since 2007, we've been to Africa. We've been to Central America, Southeast Asia. And we have done over 1,500 surgeries, all free of charge. You know,
that is amazing.
And last year when COVID hit, we decided to start offering help in our own backyard. Of course, you know, we still help people. You know, every year I'm a big breast cancer advocate and breast reconstruction advocate. I happen to be the first one in Los Angeles area to host the first Breast Reconstruction Awareness Day that was launched by the American Society of Plastic Surgeons in 2012, hosted an event to educate women about their rights to breast reconstruction. So charity has always been a forefront of mine, and I've always joked around that if I was a trust fund baby, I'd be going to developing countries doing free surgery, or even here in America, offering help to people who cannot navigate through the complex process of our healthcare.
That's
why Restore is so important and so dear to my heart.
Wow. Well, we are just blown away. And for folks who are just joining us, we're talking today on the Hair Radio Morning Show with the one and only Dr. Michael Obeng from out in Beverly Hills. Now, we understand that you work with the director of Miko Plastic Surgery out in Beverly Hills. How is all of that and your work there? Does that play a part in you taking on some of these extra efforts and helping, you know, folks who are in such need with plastic surgery?
So Miko Plastic Surgery is my practice here in Beverly Hills. We've been here for 10 years.
Wow.
And it has been the engine behind my charity. You know, the money that we make from here is supposed to charity. This charity has been supported, you know, largely in part by the efforts of, you know, our practice here, the staff and friends, about 75% and 25% of donations from other sources, you know. And so it means a lot to me. It means a lot to me that the Lord has blessed me enough to give me a practice that can fund, you know, to help the people in need, free of charge. And, you know, for those of you guys listening, you know, we are here. We are here to serve the general public. You know, we offer, you know, the true breadth of plastic surgery, of course, the entire staff and colleagues. You know, so we do everything here. I like to do more faces and breast and body procedures. And then I have colleagues here who does other things. But, you know, this practice has been the engine behind Restore. And for those of you listening, if you want to help, and spread the love and restore more hope and function and put smiles on people's faces and change communities, you guys can go to restoreworldwide.org. Every donation is appreciated, you know, and no amount of money is little. You know, so we thank you guys, you know, for tuning in to listen to me and to share my story with you guys. And you guys can also
Clint Beast on the board.
You niggas be trippin'.
What up, bro? You rockin' with Statewide Chip.
I'm inviting everybody to take a look and listen to see what I got going on. You can catch me streaming on all music platforms under Statewide Chip or Statewide Bosses. You can also find me on social media, Statewide Chip on Facebook, Statewide Chip Official on Instagram, and Statewide Chip or Statewide Bosses on YouTube.
Just like the eyes are the window to the soul, the scalp is the window to beautiful and luxurious hair. The way to obtain it is with Stimulating Roots. Stimulating Roots will exfoliate and detoxify your scalp, promoting healthy hair growth. Stimulating Roots has a system to detoxify and grow your hair. Their shampoo combines menthol, camphor, and pink grapefruit essential oil to improve blood circulation in the scalp. Their conditioner, that stimulates, moisturizes, and hydrates the hair. The regeneration oil, that contains essential oils that work together to promote hair growth while calming an itchy, dry, and irritated scalp. Open the window to beautiful and luxurious hair. Awaken the senses to your scalp with Stimulating Roots. This is available at StimulatingRoots.com. That's StimulatingRoots, R-U-T-Z.com.
All right. It has been a fabulous Friday right here on the Hair Radio Morning Show. I'm Kerry Hines. I have to just say, what an awesome show. It was kind of like, I was just thinking about it, what a little bit of a hot potch or whatever that word is, that is in a, you know, just amalgamation of many things. It was all that today and more. So listen, our next live show, this is important, will be Tuesday morning. So we're back on Tuesday, which I believe is the first of February of 2022. So we're back, of course, at 8:30. Michael will be on with the Vet Talks radio show. You guys heard him from him a little while ago. But I'll be back Tuesday morning at 6 o'clock for the next live installment. Now, on Monday, what we do on Monday, we encourage you to go to our regular website at hairradio.com. That's HAIradio.com. And at the very top of the website, we have a 24-hour streaming network that we play some of our classic shows and some of our recent broadcasts. So go there on Monday morning or throughout the weekend, and you can play our Hair Radio all the time, round the clock, 24/7. So it is just great. So again, that's at our website at hairradio.com. And then Tuesday, call in the same 516 number. We'll be back with you. I've got some surprise folks next week you don't